Why does a book challenging religious belief generate such intense reactions? The God Delusion strikes at something deeply personal, the beliefs that shape how millions understand their existence. America presents a fascinating paradox. Founded on secular principles, with Jefferson and others expressing skepticism toward religious doctrine, yet today standing as one of the most religious developed nations. This contradiction stems partly from America's free market of religious ideas. Without state sponsorship, churches competed like businesses, creating a vibrant religious landscape. The modern political climate has seen religion gain enormous influence, despite the Founding Fathers' clear intentions for separation between church and state. Consider George Bush Sr.'s statement that atheists shouldn't be considered citizens or patriots, a sentiment that would have shocked Thomas Jefferson. This gap between America's secular founding and its religious present shows how easily historical narratives can be rewritten to serve contemporary agendas. When examining religious claims critically, we're not attacking people, but ideas. Ideas that have shaped history, sparked wars, and influenced billions of lives. These ideas deserve the same scrutiny we apply to political theories, scientific hypotheses, or economic models. Yet religious beliefs often receive special treatment, a cultural courtesy exempting them from standard rules of evidence. Why should claims about the universe's creation, divine intervention, or eternal punishment be immune from the critical thinking we apply elsewhere? Agnosticism isn't mere fence-sitting between belief and disbelief. It comes in two forms: temporary agnosticism in practice, TAP, for questions awaiting evidence, and permanent agnosticism in principle, PAP, for questions inherently beyond evidence. The existence of God is often misclassified as a PAP question, suggesting divine existence is fundamentally unknowable. This creates a false equivalence between belief and disbelief. Just as we can't disprove a teapot orbiting between Earth and Mars, the inability to disprove doesn't make both possibilities equally probable. On the belief spectrum, from strong theism to strong atheism, most thoughtful people avoid absolute certainty. However, the evidence, or lack thereof, tends to favor the atheistic end of the spectrum. We often apply inconsistent standards, readily dismissing beliefs in fairies or Zeus while treating the Abrahamic God with special consideration, a reflection of cultural conditioning rather than logical assessment. Some scientists advocate for Stephen Jay Gould's non-overlapping magisteria, Noma, suggesting science and religion occupy separate domains that shouldn't interfere with each other. This diplomatic approach attempts to shield science from religious criticism. However, this creates an artificial boundary that religion regularly crosses. When religion makes claims about the natural world, from creation to miracles, it enters science's domain and must meet scientific standards of evidence. The conflict isn't merely science versus creationism, but rationality versus superstition. Treating religious claims as deserving special respect creates a protected space where ideas can exist without evidence. The search for extraterrestrial intelligence, SETI, offers a telling contrast. Scientists scanning for alien civilizations engage in legitimate scientific inquiry, not religious speculation. If we discovered advanced alien technology, we might find it indistinguishable from magic, as Arthur C. Clarke noted, but we wouldn't mistake it for divinity. This highlights how differently we evaluate evidence when religion is involved versus other extraordinary claims. Throughout history, theologians have constructed arguments for God's existence. Aquinas' main proofs, the unmoved mover, uncaused cause, and cosmological arguments, attempt to solve infinite regress by positioning God as the ultimate source. However, this merely raises another question. If everything needs a cause, what caused God? Anselm's ontological argument claims a perfect being must exist by definition. But as Kant noted, existence isn't a property like size or color. It's a precondition for having properties, making the argument circular. The argument from beauty suggests sublime art indicates divine existence. Yet this confuses correlation with causation. Great art exists independent of religious belief, often simply because churches were primary artistic patrons. Personal religious experiences, while meaningful to individuals, lack broader credibility. Our pattern-seeking brains can construct perceived realities from limited input, similar to optical illusions. Biblical scripture faces reliability challenges. The Gospels, written decades after Jesus' death, contain contradictions and apparent attempts to retroactively fulfill prophecies, while transcription errors diminish their authority. The central argument against God's existence poses a logical paradox. Any being capable of designing a complex universe must be at least as complex as its creation. Therefore, if complexity requires explanation, God would require even more explanation than the universe. The creationist argument is often illustrated through the analogy of finding a Boeing 747 jet. Surely such complexity implies a designer. However, this misunderstands the alternative to design. Evolution by natural selection isn't mere chance, but rather a cumulative process where beneficial random variations are preserved over millions of generations. The God hypothesis actually compounds the problem of complexity rather than solving it. A deity capable of designing the universe and monitoring all human activity would be unfathomably complex, requiring even more explanation than the universe itself. Natural selection remains the only known mechanism for generating complexity from simplicity. Like feminist consciousness raising revealing sexist language, Darwinian thinking helps us recognize how cumulative selection can create apparent design without requiring a designer. If religious beliefs are false, why are they so widespread? From an evolutionary perspective, religious practices appear wasteful, yet persist universally. Religion likely emerged as a byproduct of adaptive traits. Like moths drawn to artificial lights, humans possess a hyperactive agent detection device that attributes purpose to random events, a survival mechanism that sometimes misfires. This tendency, combined with our intuitive sense that mind and body are separate, natural dualism, creates fertile ground for religious concepts. Children's evolved instinct to trust authority figures makes them especially receptive to religious teachings. Religion also co-opts our capacity for romantic love, redirecting intense devotion from partners to deities. These psychological predispositions create an environment where religious ideas thrive, regardless of their truth value. Religion endures because it's well adapted to our mental architecture. Many question how morality could exist without divine commandments, but this misunderstands morality's origins. Our moral instincts evolve through kin selection, caring for genetic relatives, and reciprocal altruism, mutual cooperation. These evolutionary mechanisms laid the groundwork for human morality before religion emerged. Research reveals a universal moral grammar. People across cultures reach similar conclusions when facing ethical dilemmas, suggesting an innate moral sense independent of religious teaching. The question, "Why be good without God watching?" misses the mark. Authentic morality comes from recognizing others' inherent value, not from fear of punishment or hope of reward. Studies show no link between religiosity and better social outcomes. Secular societies often demonstrate higher societal health. Even religious texts contain passages modern believers reject, indicating they already employ independent moral reasoning. Our moral intuitions preceded religion, which later adopted these evolved instincts as its own.